What's up, everybody? Wednesday edition. Hope you're doing well. Want to welcome all of our new Podbean and iTunes subscribers. Want to thank you for listening to us. Join us again every weekday, Monday through Friday, for Engaging Heaven Today podcast. Cutting through the fluff, get to the stuff. We're going to jump into it today. Hope you guys are well. We're going to call this one Your Jesus. Yeah, I said it, ladies and gentlemen. You are Jesus. Let me clarify. You know, it's interesting in the Bible because there's something about the Lord you need to understand. Right from the get-go, people struggle with this thought. Jesus is not some Buddha. He's not Socrates. He's not some Gandhi in the sky that is untouchable, unrelatable, and you're just some peon on this earth that just admires him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Admiring Jesus isn't enough. Muslims admire him as a prophet, right? Just being a fan of Jesus isn't enough. Just liking him, clicking the button and saying, oh, I'd like to lightly follow you, is not following Jesus. Mentally agreeing with his principles is not following Jesus. And it's a huge defining point in Christianity because Jesus is not your homeboy. Do you understand? He's not a passenger in the car. He's not your little girlfriend. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who now lives on the inside of you. If Jesus did all these miracles that he did on earth as fully the Son of God, right? He came to the earth. He did all these miracles. He transformed this world solely as the Son of God. I'm impressed. But I'm not compelled to give him my life. Do you understand? If he did all these miracles as the Son of God, I'm very impressed. But I'm not compelled to, like, give all. But if he did all these miracles as the Son of God, yet, man, I'm all of a sudden not content with my life and want to abandon everything for him. We've lost our understanding of who he is. He was never meant to be a picture. He was never meant to be a VeggieTales cartoon. He was meant to be the Son of the living God rising up in you, right? The day that Pentecost had fully come, really, yes, tongues was a part of it. Yes, the church being birthed and increased was part of it. But really, it was about the Holy Spirit coming to live on the inside of you. So when we talk about Jesus, we want to excuse ourselves, right? When we read stories about Jesus, we clearly don't see ourselves there, right? If Jesus is healing a blind man, you always side with the blind man, right? If it's the woman with the issue of blood, you're always the woman with the issue of blood in your mind. That's not how the Bible meant to be. I'm presenting to you today that every time you see Jesus in the Bible, you need to see yourself. Your Jesus. Every time he laid hands on the sick, that's what you're called to do on this earth. Listen to me. He said that he came to seek and save that which is lost. That's the same mandate he still has now that you live on the inside of. He prayed, as we know the Trinity is real, and then he prayed in John 15 and 17 that we would be one with the Father as him and the Father are one. That is an intimacy of the Godhead that few understand. Jesus wants to be one with you, and now that he lives in you, he is. Just because he lives inside of you doesn't mean that you recognize it or let him out. Let's just be clear. Most of you are probably holding Jesus captive, and he's not allowed to do anything he wants to do on this earth because he's now subjected to your crazy. But the reality is, we were created to do miracles. We were created in every situation like Jesus to live unimpressed with the world and fully devoted to him, the Lord. And when I read the story of Jesus, I wonder what's possible in my life. When I see what he does, I think that this could happen to me and through me. When I read stories of his miracle power, I think of you, the listeners of this podcast. And I think, man, what would happen if you guys believed? There's so many of us connected by one mean of media. What could happen if you just believed? What would happen if you laid down the weirdness about Christianity that you struggle with and you just embrace the fact that the resurrecting King is living in you? Oh, man, that's powerful. There was a story in the Bible. There's so many that we could choose from for Jesus, but there was a story in the Bible that really opened my eyes. And when it happened, I began to think about the way we should respond to life because Jesus is so good at it, and that's what he wants us to do. It's the feeding of the 5,000, not like you think. We'll talk about it in a minute. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
Are you hungry for more of the supernatural? We invite you to join us for our weekly School of the Spirit nights at Engaging Heaven Church in West Haven, Connecticut. Join us every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. and allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life.
What's up, everybody? We're back. Matthew chapter 14, crazy scripture. And here's Jesus again. I want to preface all this by saying you're Jesus, okay? So just maybe say I'm Jesus, just so you get it in your head. Matthew chapter 14 is the feeding of the 5,000, but I don't want you to think about the food, and I don't want you, some of you that's hard, and I don't want you to think about the disciples, and I don't want you to think about the 13,000 that were potentially at the feeding. I want you to think about Jesus and think about yourself in that position and what we can learn by mirroring his image. When Jesus heard it, Matthew 14:13, he departed from there to a boat to a deserted place to pray. When the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. So far in this story, you are moved with compassion in healing people sick. When the evening came, the disciples said, "This is a deserted place. The hour's late. Send the multitudes away that they would go into the villages, get food." It was time for dinner. Jesus said, "You don't need them to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them to me." It's interesting to know here that, number one, 5 loaves and 2 fish wouldn't feed me. But see the difference between Jesus and the disciples? The disciples are worried, right? They knew it was dinner time and they needed these people to leave. Jesus didn't look at dinner time as a shocker. He's kind of like, "Oh, don't send them off. You're going to feed them," you know, knowing it would be impossible. They said, "And we only have 5 loaves. He said, "Bring them to me." Then Jesus commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He took the very thing that they thought was lack. And looking up to heaven, he blessed it, broke it, gave thanks, gave it to the multitudes. They all ate and were filled. They took 12 baskets of fragments left over. And there was a lot of people there, the Bible says. Here's what I want you to realize about Jesus in this story, and here's what I wish you would realize about yourself, or God's desire for you. In this story, the disciples lived like most Christians I know. Focused on lack. We don't have enough. How are we going to feed these people? It's not going to work out, you know. On the other feeding of the multitudes, Philip starts adding up in a calculator. "Well, if we took all of our wages for the year and spent all of the dollars we have on all these people, it could never feed them." Jesus goes, "You're going to feed them." And so what I need you to see in this scripture is Jesus was not impressed or intimidated by the size of the crowd. He didn't care. Today, we're so nervous around people. We want them to see the best in us. We want to put our best status up. We want you to like us. Please retweet me. Please heart me. What a joke. Jesus was not impressed with multitudes. He wasn't impressed by the size of crowds. And here's the other thing you need to realize. He was not intimidated by little. See, when you serve a kingdom, you live life without restriction. When you are locked into heaven and what God has for you, you're not overly cognizant of lack. Without the DNA of Christ in you manifesting, you're constantly going to be focused on lack. I don't have enough here. We're not going to make it here. How are we ever going to do it? It doesn't seem like enough. We can't feed these people. Send them on their way. When are we going to eat? When you think limitless, when you think kingdom with no restrictions, God can take one piece of bread and turn it into an Olive Garden. Do you understand? He can turn it into a restaurant that will feed you unlimited portions. It's the God we serve. And so instead of feeling like you're the woman or children in this story that's just getting blessed by the big, big old Lord, look at yourself like Jesus. What did he do? What did he say? How did he act? Do likewise. Rinse and repeat. Jesus takes something. See, small is big in the kingdom when you give thanks. Jesus took the little that was there. He lifted it up to heaven. He began to give thanks. It was in the giving away that it multiplied. It was trusting in a kingdom with no restraint or no limitations. Jesus gave thanks and it increased. So here's the couple things to realize in this story. On Jesus' perspective, because I want you to be him in this story. He was unimpressed by crowds. He was not intimidated by lack. He began to thank God for the very thing nobody thought was enough. And then he broke it and gave it away, and it was in the giving that it began to multiply. In your life, are you intimidated? When you come to impossible situations, do you believe? Or are you faltering and cowering to lies? Like I said, you better start reading the Bible and doing what Jesus did. It's more than a WWJD bracelet. This is life. And today, I want you to read a story of Jesus. And I want you to imagine yourself. Here we are, the midweek grind. Take a pause in your work week and make a decision that you're going to read a gospel story of Jesus. And you're going to put yourself in there and you're going to learn. Because we want to think like him. We want to act like him. We want to look like him. We want to love like him. In Jesus' name, we love you. We're out. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for rocking with us. Goodbye.
Hi, friends. Thanks for listening to Engaging Heaven today. As a reminder, subscribe and review. We love hearing your great feedback. Also, share the podcast with everyone you know and help us spread the word of God.